Episode 4. This is the fourth and final part of our 12th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. We began this mini-series on the first Sunday of October, talking about how inspiring it is when you bring your children to Jesus every Sunday at Mass and when you bring them to the sacraments. We saw how indignant our Blessed Lord is when we prevent our children from coming to Him every Sunday at Mass or in the sacraments or by our selfish acts of abortion and contraception. We also talked about having a childlike attitude, one that is excited about the Church's moral teaching, one that is resilient, willing to get back up and try again after falling down into sin, one that is trusting and believing everything that Jesus tells them. An excited, resilient, trusting, childlike attitude is not only essential when approaching the moral topics of our October Pro-Life mini-series, but this childlike attitude is absolutely necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. For Jesus says, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. In episode 2, we talked about the great suffering that a married man and woman have when they cannot conceive a child. To these beautiful, suffering couples, the Church is united with as you carry this cross of infertility. For as the Bible says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with him. We know that all things work to the good for those who love God. So those infertile spouses who unite themselves with our Lord's cross can still bear spiritual fruit for the Church and the world. We were inspired by those couples who, in their great generosity, have adopted a child. And we were also inspired by Dr. Thomas Hilgers and the Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, who help married men and women conceive a child in the natural way. On the other hand, Jesus warns us about the evils of the donation of sperm or ovum, the evil of the surrogate uterus, and the evil of artificial insemination. Sperm and egg banks, surrogate motherhood, test tube babies, and artificial insemination are gravely immoral because they separate life-making and love-making. Life and love must always go together. Children are not objects to be manipulated in a laboratory, and children are not rights. God does not owe anyone a child. Children are gifts to be accepted from God with love and with humble and grateful hearts. Last week in episode 3, we talked about the health care reform bills currently being introduced in Congress here in the United States of America. And we said that overall, health care is a good thing. To care for another person's spiritual and physical health is a great act of love. We also said that everyone has a duty to care for their health, both in body and in soul, or to seek help in caring for their health. Yet, we know that health care must never, never, ever involve murdering a baby in the womb of his mother. In the language of a child, health and murder are not compatible. Who will take care of the health of the child in the womb. And so we said that any health care reform bill must include two things. First, the health care reform bill must explicitly forbid any federal funding of an abortion, and two, the health care bill must include a conscience clause for doctors, nurses, and health care workers so that they will not be forced by law to perform abortions. Thank you for all of those of you who expressed interest in writing our senators and representatives following the good example of our bishops. It was inspiring to see that, and we'll try to make it easier for you in the coming weeks by providing addresses or petitions for you to sign. So, that brings us to today, to our final episode, episode 4, and we're going to begin where we left off, with the health care reform bill. Last week, after these reflections in episode 3, one of our good doctors came up to me and reminded me that there was another moral problem with the health care reform bills. And I said, what? You gotta be kidding. What is another moral problem with the health care bills? I thought it was only that they were gonna federally fund abortions and that doctors would be mandated to go against their conscience and perform abortions. What else could be a problem? I said. And the very wise doctor said, well, Father, you forgot about the end of life concerns. And I said, what? The end-of-life concerns, that's not part of the health care reform bills. And the wise doctor said, these health care reform bills threaten life at the end as well as at the beginning. So I had to do a little research and find out what he's talking about. I discovered that the National Right to Life Committee has been negotiating with the Senate Finance Committee in Washington to include language in the health care bill that would include these two things. First, the government must not be authorized to compel or encourage denial of life-saving medical treatment, food, or fluids based on the patient's age, disability, or quality of life. And two, the government must not pressure patients into rejecting life-saving treatment as a means of saving money, nor provide for assisted suicide as an alternative. Now, it shouldn't come as any surprise to me that this type of language that the National Right to Life Committee tried to include in the bill was defeated. Those proponents of the health care bill say, well, but it doesn't include these things. And we say, oh, good, great, wonderful. Could we have it in writing? Could we just have it in writing and just put it in the bill? We want to keep all of our options open. We don't want to be so specific. It's better to be ambiguous and vague. Oh, I see. Now, let me try to put this in language, at least that I can understand, because all of that wordage there is important. But this is how I understand it. So what will happen is this. We will decide who we can give health care to. So let's say, for example, we're going to have an age limit. Some of you are over 80, aren't you? Let's say we're not going to give health care to anyone over 80. You've lived a good life, right? Good 80 years. We'll just kind of let nature take its course. No health care for you over 80. Or should we say 85? Or should we say 87? We'll pick an age and we'll say no health care over this age. Or we won't give health care to you because you're a cripple. You're a quadriplegic. You've had a stroke, and I don't think we're going to give health care to you. Or we can deny health care because we've determined that quality of life for you isn't very good. For example, we've determined that the quality of life for this important person we're going to give him quality health care, but this guy that just came into the emergency room, he's sleeping in a refrigerator box. Come on now, that's not quality of life. We'll deny him health care. Or, what is worse, we could say, you're terminal. You've just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, so, you know, you got 6 months, maybe 6 months, probably five. You know what we'll do? It would really save us a lot of money for everybody if we could just kill you now. And then we don't have to spend five, six, seven, if it goes longer, 8, 9 months on health care for you, because you're going to die anyway. So let's just kill you now. You see how serious this is? And I know that people are understanding this. One of our good parishioners came up to me after the last Mass and said, Father, if this would be the case right now, I probably wouldn't be here today. I said, well, why is that? He said, well, I had heart surgery, and, you know, I'm 70 years old. Why bother with me? Why bother giving me surgery? Just forget about it. He had a very successful surgery and a great, great diagnosis for a continued many years, God willing. Interesting, isn't it? In response, I say, first of all, I thought we weren't supposed to discriminate against anyone. I didn't think that was part of our national heritage, to discriminate against the elderly or the sick or the crippled or the blind or the lame or those who live in a box. I didn't think that that was an ethical thing to do. And by the way, who gets to determine the age that you can't have health care anymore? Who gets to decide that? Who gets to decide what cripples get health care and which ones don't? And who gets to decide that you're terminal enough that we should end your life now? The government? Or doesn't that belong to God? I think it belongs to God. Give to Caesar and the state what belongs to them, but give to God what belongs to him when life ends and when it begins. And who gets to decide if your life is too burdensome? Anyway, you know, about 15 years ago, the bishops of the United States wrote something very beautiful on this issue, and I'd like to read it to you. It goes like this. The old and the sick can be persuaded that their lives have become too burdensome, both to themselves and to their caregivers. But those who would remove through killing the disability, the pain, or the depression of the old and the sick often act with a conflict of interest they do not see. That is, not the lives of those they care for that are unbearably burdened, but their own lives. That's pretty awesome. In other words, the bishops of the United States said, don't project on those who are in pain that their lives are too burdensome for them when you really mean that their lives are too burdensome for you. That you are burdened by caring for them. Let's call it for what it is. Pope John Paul II, of blessed memory, in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae, says, true compassion leads to sharing another person's pain. It does not kill the person whose suffering we can't bear. There it is. We don't kill the suffering of the person we can't stand to watch. Instead, true compassion means I will go through this suffering with you. I will share this suffering and this pain with you. I won't get rid of you because you're a burden to me. We know that from a Christian perspective, suffering has great meaning if it is united to the Lord on the cross. The Lord, his suffering, it was terrible, it was awful. And yet his suffering on the cross brought life to the whole world. And so suffering, although not good in itself, has meaning united to Jesus. This is very important to remember. And perhaps the Lord, in his mercy, is giving a person some months to spiritually prepare to see him face to face. Maybe he's doing an act of mercy for them, and he's getting them ready to go to heaven. And these months of suffering and purification will be a blessing. Our suffering, brothers and sisters, have so much to teach us. I remember one time that I had to cut short my retreat because I had to come home to be with someone who was dying. I remember being in the hospital, and the very, very veteran senior Catholic chaplain at the hospital, probably over 80 years old, said to me, "Oh, you get to spend your retreat with the dying." He said there could be no greater blessing on a retreat. They have so much to teach us. So much to teach us about living and about being focused on heaven. So, it is important to remember, as a review, that no health care can include these types of things. We must include in health care that the government does not have the right to authorize or compel or encourage denying life-saving medical treatment, food, or fluids based on the patient's age, disability, or quality of life. And most importantly, the government must not pressure patients into rejecting life-saving treatments as a means of saving money, nor can they provide for assisted suicide as an alternative. Let's conclude the 12th annual Pro-Life miniseries by reflecting for a moment on the first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, I will gather the blind and the lame and mothers with child. So, who does the Lord gather? The crippled and the child in the womb. That's who he gathers. Thank you, Lord, for gathering these beautiful children in the wombs of their mothers. Thank you for gathering the least of our brethren, the blind and the lame and the crippled and the forgotten. And he continues, what will he do to the least of our brethren? He says, I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble, for I am a father to Israel. Isn't that beautiful? And I am a father to my people, trying my best to lead you on a level road so that none of you will stumble on your way to heaven. Yes, I am a father to my people, trying my best to lead you to the brooks of water that has an eternal spring as its source. And that eternal spring is Jesus Christ. That eternal spring where you can drink from his wisdom and truth and love and mercy. Don't ever leave in tears. Take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you.